couple of months ago, the committee that kind of tends to our website wanted to put on the website brief biographies, little bios of the clergy. And each of the clergy were interviewed. And actually, Lady McClenny interviewed, I think, all the clergy, and me as one of them. And there were various questions asked, trying to get a sense of one's background, school, different things. But one of the questions was, what is your favorite song? What is your favorite song? And I remember when Alita asked me that, I said, well, I got to really think on that one. You know, there's a lot of songs that I like, a lot of groups that I like, and so I said, you know, can you give me a week? So about 3 weeks later, we got back in touch with each other, and I chose a song. And there were so many songs I could have chosen. But I went back to a song from my high school days. When I was a senior in high school, it was a tradition in our high school that the senior class chose kind of a senior class song. So this was 1971. Baby boomers unite here. 1971, I was a senior graduating, and the song that we chose, I chose as my favorite song. And it was a song of the sung by the Moody Blues. Do you remember the Moody Blues? I think they're still touring around. But the song that I chose was Question. Question. The full title, I think, is Question of Balance. I don't know if any of you remember that song. But it was a song at the time that really shaped a bit of, you know, not much shape, but it spoke to the time that I was finding myself in. It was a time of questioning. It was a time of wondering. It was a time of searching and seeking. And that song seemed to capture that. While it's an older song, that sense of questioning has continued to be part of my journey and my life. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, so many years later, questioning to me is still such an important part of my life. It's almost more important than the answers. Answering is one thing, but questioning is a constant invitation. You know, questioning in order to discover new meaning, perhaps a new depth of meaning, new understanding, new possibilities, it's only when we question that we are invited to move forward, to move deeper. That, to me, is what questioning is really about. So I read today's gospel reading, and in this reading, Jesus is asked a question. But when I heard the question, I realized that the people asking this question in the gospel reading today perhaps are not really looking for new meaning or new understanding or an openness to something new. Rather, their questioning seems to be more about how do we entrap Jesus? How do we get Jesus to give an answer that we want for our purposes? We still see that today, don't we? You know, we ask a question to get our answer so that I can then move on you and get something out of you that would benefit me, whether it's a debate or an argument or whatever it is. That's the kind of questioning, though, that's happening between the groups that ask Jesus this question. But I would suggest to you that this reading that was written by the author of Matthew's Gospel can invite us to a deeper meaning and to a deeper understanding, while those who asked the question perhaps didn't get that. Here's what's going on in this reading. There are two groups being described who are talking to Jesus and are asking him a question. One group are the Herodians. The Herodians are a group within Judaism who had really accepted the rule of the empire. They had situated themselves in a good place. They were still part of the Jewish tradition, but they pretty much bought in to the Roman Empire and found a place to be strong and powerful and to live there. The other group that's questioning Jesus are the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are a group within Judaism for whom the law, the traditions, the customs are very important, very significant. And they have found a way to certainly try to stay honest to that and yet somehow cope with the fact that they are living under the rule of the emperor in the empire. They don't really buy into it, but they have found a way to survive in it. The Herodians and the Pharisees would not necessarily go to dinner with each other. The Herodians and the Pharisees did not see things eye to eye. And yet, in this instance, they have a common foe. And have we seen this before? When you have a common foe, opposing folks can unite around that. And that's kind of what's happening in this gospel reading we heard this morning. The Herodians and the Pharisees are out, in many ways, to get Jesus. And they do it by asking a question. And the question they ask is the one we hear. Is it okay to pay taxes to the emperor? Is it okay to pay taxes to the emperor? Now, what the Herodians want to hear is the answer, yes, it is. Yes, pay taxes to the emperor. So that the Herodians can say, see, this is not the Messiah. This is not the one that we've been waiting for. He's not who we think he is. The Pharisees, on the other hand, in answer to that question, is it okay to pay taxes to the emperor? The Pharisees want to hear him say, no, it's not. It's not okay to pay taxes to the emperor. So that they can then hand him over to the empire and have him persecuted, actually have him crucified. So one question is being asked. Each has a different expectation of the answer. But in their minds, no matter how Jesus answers, both win. You see the wisdom? I mean, just there's what an incredible story. So is it okay to pay taxes to the emperor? The great line is, and I think this gets lost in the story, Jesus then turns to them and says, show me the coin that you're talking about. They use a denarius, was the coinage then. Jesus says to them, give me the coin that you're talking about. Jesus doesn't have this coin on him. The coin would have been, is described in the reading as the denarius. The denarius was a small coin, and on it would have the engraved on it was a picture of the emperor. And around the edge of the coin would be words to the effect, you know, son of the divine. You know, remember, the emperor was seen as a god, as a son of God. In those days, the son of God would not have meant Jesus. The son of God would have meant the emperor. And so the coin had the emperor's face on it and that sort of designation as the son of the divine. That's the coin they're talking about. That's the coin that was used in the Roman times, the Roman culture. And that's the coin that they're saying, you know, is it okay to pay taxes? This is powerful. Jesus says, show me the coin. Can you show me the coin? I don't have one. You do. And then he approaches this. See, the coin at this time in history in the temple, the coin was the denarius was used in day-to-day affairs within the community. But when you came to the temple, you would not be able to use that coin. Because in many ways it went against the Jewish laws, the Jewish traditions. It had a graven image on it. It had an image of a god on it. Which the Jewish, you know, remember our Jewish brothers and sisters, monotheists, there's only one God. And we know this God. We are the people God has chosen. So they would not allow that denarius even into the temple. So when people came to the temple, they would bring that money with them and they'd go to folks at the entrance and they would exchange it for temple money. The empire let that happen, but it was to be used only in the temple. So you had to take that denarius, hand it in, and get temple money that you could then use in the temple for the affairs of the temple, offering sacrifice, giving to the temple, purchasing animals to be sacrificed in the temple. That money was considered what you could use. Of course, the money changers, those were the money changers, when they exchanged that money for temple money, they made a little profit on that deal. And that's a whole other story. Remember the story of Jesus going into the temple and overturning the tables of the money changers. You've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. That's another story and another homily. But it's connected. So this money that's being used, they have to use it, I would imagine, to survive in the culture. But they would not use that in the temple. Jesus says, "Show me the coin." And his answer is so simple. If you've never read the scriptures, this is a line that most people know about. What does he say? And he doesn't really answer the question. Jesus is not turning this into an either or. I'm either on the side of the Herodians or the side of the Pharisees. He comes to the middle. He speaks from a wisdom place. In many ways, he answers their questions, but doesn't really answer their question from the way they wanted it to be answered. Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's." Not the answer they wanted, as the gospel reading says, and they went away. I think when we read this reading, we can understand the idea of the denarius and having, you know, the emperor's face on it, and okay, you're using that money, so do what you need to do with that money. But there's not a lot spent on what does it mean, though, and give to God what is God's. And I've been kind of sitting with that phrase for the last week or so as I prepared to share some thoughts with you today. And I offer a thought to you. It doesn't have to be the answer, but it really made me think that as the emperor's image is on that coin, what is the image that we carry? The Hebrew people would have known the story of creation, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. We carry the image of God. We carry the likeness of God. And Jesus is saying, give to the emperor what is the emperor's. But give to God what is God. Give to God the image that is found in you. Offer to God your life. Offer to God your gifts, your talents. Offer the gifts that God has given you to share. Give to Caesar what Caesar needs. But don't forget to share with the community, to give back to God what's been given to you as you walk in the image and likeness of God. That thought really touches me. I don't know if it speaks to you, but I think it's a part of that reading that really can invite us to such a deeper understanding. We are made in the image of likeness of God. God calls us to share who we are. And certainly as we gather in this time of stewardship during the month of October, it gives us cause to reflect on how are we called to share who we are, share the gifts we have. As we walk as images of God, that we can truly be the image of God in our world and make a difference and live into the dream and the vision that God has for this created world. And we have a part to play in that. And I think this gospel reading calls us and invites us to walk into that.